cliffcentral.com. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
The time for the healing of the wounds has come. The moment to bridge the chasms that divide us has come. The time to build is upon us. We have at last achieved our political emancipation. We pledge ourselves to liberate all our people from the continuing bondage of poverty, deprivation, suffering, gender, and other discrimination. We commit ourselves to the construction of a complete, just, and lasting peace. We understand it still that there is no easy road to freedom. We know it well that none of us acting alone can achieve success. We must therefore act together as a united people for national reconciliation, for nation building, for the birth of a new world. Let there be justice for all. Let there be peace for all. The sun shall never set on so glorious a human achievement. Let freedom reign. I thank you.
Nelson Mandela, an icon, a husband, a father, a grandfather, a fighter, a survivor, a conqueror and a leader. The man whose footsteps only ever walked through rubble, creating new and purer walk paths. A man who took away the selfishness that we find ourselves drenched in from head to toe. A man that didn't just walk or just talk the talk, but walked the walk. No one else was willing to walk. A man who created leaders out of his peers and the average man in the street. A man who didn't need an empire to start building his own, but who used his own tools and abilities to start out. A man who spent many golden years of his life doing what some would term nothing, but in actual fact, achieving everything. A man who took the front in an insurmountably large fight without ever truly knowing if he'd come out alive, let alone successful or victorious. That is courage. That is true leadership and strength of the mind, heart, and soul. Nelson Mandela for you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau. Today we delve into the life of a giant of a man who stood the test of time against all odds, who fought a system mainly meant to oppress and suppress a group of people, who has gone on to grace many stages in the entire world, has touched many lives, and his narrative not only became a national narrative as a national hero, but his narrative became an international narrative, and his story a national story. And today joining us is a wonderful woman, but before we get into that, we want to start off with one of the 18 facts that we'll be going through about the man Nelson Mandela. Firstly, Rolihlahla Mandela. Rolihlahla, the word means to pull a branch out of a tree, and troublemaker, if you wish. And I think that's fitting for him to have such a meaning to his name, because if you think about his life and you think about what he did, it was obscene. It was trouble to the people that were in leadership at the particular point in time. But it was good trouble. It was, in fact, an inauguration to a great revolution that brought about a lot of integration in cultures, in races, and in many different aspects of the social context of the country we know and love as South Africa. So in studio today to share her sentiments and her thoughts on this day, which we'll be celebrating, which is the Nelson Mandela Day, is Catherine Constantinidis. A hashtag climate activist, hashtag humanitarian, hashtag earth warrior, hashtag food security advocate, hashtag Mandela Washington fellow, and one of the most important ones, hashtag dream chaser. As seen on her Instagram and all her social media pages, she is a woman driven by bringing life, love, and happiness and hope to people that need it the most. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I wasn't sure who you were speaking about. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming through. We touched, or rather had a clip play of Nelson Mandela, and the opening statement there was, "The time for healing of all wounds has come. The moment to bridge the chasms that divide us has come. The time to build has come." Thinking about that in modern day South Africa, what are your thoughts about that statement?
I think listening to that clip and hearing Tata's voice really gave me goosebumps. I felt really emotional because I realize how much he's missed in our society, mm-hmm. and how far we have moved from the values he left us with and the leadership lessons he left us with as a nation and as a progressive international community, how many of us actually stand by the very values and principles that he lived by every single day. So as I listen to his words and the beautiful piece that you played, I think I'm reminded of the things that we should be doing in our daily lives. We need to make sure that we're part of the healing because that time has come, but we cannot let that time pass us by without having done something significant. Mm. And as young people in South Africa, I think that a day like Mandela Day being tomorrow is an important opportunity for us to reflect on the role we play in society, reflect on what is it that we do every single day to make every day a Mandela Day? Mm. What is it that we do in our own lives that touches the life of another? How are we going to bed at night with a conscience that is we're okay with? Are we okay with going to bed at night knowing we could have made a small difference in somebody else's life that would have meant something great and we did or we didn't? So these are the questions I think we need to reassess, ask ourselves, and as young people who have a responsibility in this country to make a great difference, because leaders and icons such as Tata Madiba left us with that responsibility, and he told us it's now in our hands. Mm. So what are we doing? And I think that tomorrow is a great opportunity to reflect on not only doing 67 minutes of service tomorrow, wherever you are, even if you can't leave work, if you can't go out, if you're writing exams, make an extra sandwich for someone. Mm. Do something small. Go and put extra groceries in your trolley. Might not be tomorrow, maybe it's this week, and give it to somebody you don't know. Mm. Do something for someone who can do nothing for you. And I think it's a test of our own strength as people.
Yes.
And yeah, these are just some of the thoughts I had when I heard that clip. And as I say, I'm really emotional listening to his voice and remembering the great things he did and the unbelievable sacrifice him along with so many others made for us to be able to sit here today and have this kind of conversation.
Yes. You know, thinking about back into our history and how far we've come and what we've tried to achieve and what we've achieved, thinking about the wounds that he was talking about, that time has arrived to heal all wounds. What are we actively doing as South Africans to ensure that happens? Because you look at social media, you look at any kind of media platform for that instance, and you find that a lot of people are still doing a lot of obscene things and still bringing about the sentiments of what happened in our history that we're trying to bury.
You know, I think it's really hard because we have a very, very dark and very ugly past. Mm-hmm. And we may not have been there, we may not have actively been part of it, but the fact is that those wounds are still quite raw. They're so real and raw in so many homes and lives, still still feel those pains every single day.
Yes.
And I think that it takes a great deal of work across our nation and society, young and old. It doesn't matter what race, what circumstances you live under, you know, what race group you're from. I think it takes every single committed South African to do something mm-hmm. about building the future that we believe is possible. And I think that Tata Madiba really showed us what that future can be like.
Yes.
He really paved the way for us to be able to walk a future that does not only lean against the past that we come from, but really looks forward to this bright future where a non-racial South Africa is a thriving South Africa for all South Africans, especially lifting those out of the extreme poverty that they still see themselves in. And I think we have to be careful not to continually look back at the past and rely on the past to be an excuse.
Yes.
We're nearly 25 years into our young democracy, and yes, we have great challenges still, and we've got a lot of work to do, but we had a great leader such as Tata Madiba, and Nelson Mandela did so much. We have to pick up from where he left off, and we have to move forward. And I think that we see so many platforms being used, and platforms that perhaps were platforms that were not available 20 yes. years ago.
Yes.
But those platforms, we need to be responsible. We need to use them wisely. We need to use them in a way that strengthens the bonds that ties together, that highlight the things that really unite us as a nation, yes. instead of using these platforms to break down the bridges that we have built and break down the work that has been done. And I think that people are sometimes insensitive, or they don't think consciously of what they do. And yes. unfortunately, these platforms allow that one negative, harsh message can be amplified in such
and
huge volume.
See,
absolute, and you cannot take it back.
Yes.
And if you go and delete it, somebody screenshotted it, somebody's already,
it's already there.
It's already
you
there.
Do anything really,
and
yeah.
we have to be conscious of these decisions we make. We have a responsibility by using these media platforms. As fun and lighthearted as they sometimes are, we've got a responsibility, because what we put out there, once it's out there, it's out there. And I think that the greatest tool we have are social media platforms, but how do we use them for good?
Hmm. Now, looking at the man, Nelson Mandela, he grew up in a farm, you know, and it was in a rural area, and not a lot of people that grew up in such circumstances have the advantage or even the opportunity to make it out of that. But he made it, not only made it out of that, but became the person that he is revered worldwide. What are some of the narratives that, thinking about that in your head, can you draw from that, the life of Utata from that point of view?
I think that he certainly has taught us, and one thing I carry with me is that nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. What you put your mind to, you can and will achieve if you want it badly enough. And I think that his strength, his courage, his bravery are all very, very easy to say,
yeah.
you know, you can put them on paper. They're easy to put there, but to live with those qualities is a different story. But he really taught us that those things are fundamental foundations of who we become mm-hmm. and the legacy we will leave behind for those generations to follow. I think Tata Madiba taught us so many things about the fact that he did come from a rural, you know, a rural village,
yes.
In the Eastern Cape, yet he achieved so much. Knowledge is power. And he went on to do so many things. And even during the struggle, he continued to study, to read, to equip himself with knowledge. And I think that there's, you know, these are things that we need to take forward for ourselves, as young leaders and as citizens of a country that still sees people in such extreme poverty. We have to create a narrative and a vision for people to believe that they can be bigger than their circumstances. Mm. And I think that's something that's very powerful.
Mm. Continuing on the clip, he continues to say, "We commit ourselves to the construction of a complete, just and lasting peace." Looking at current South Africa and what our leaders are doing in the different parties, do you think it's peace promoting? And if not, what can be done to remedy the situation and start moving in the right direction, so to speak?
I think we need leaders who are visionary. I think we need leaders who who paint and believe in a picture and a vision of a future South Africa that we are all part of, that really, really seeks to serve our people. Mm-hmm. I think we see ourselves in a position now where leaders are serving themselves.
Yes.
And that's not where we should be. Those people should not be called leaders, because that's not the role of a leader, a president, somebody who serves in as a member of parliament, somebody who serves as a minister. We need to realign what are the values that we believe we should have as a society. And I think once we've had really bad leaders for a long time, we become complacent, mm-hmm. and we forget that we deserve better for ourselves.
Yes.
So I think that it's really important that we put our trust and our support behind leaders who are visionary, leaders who believe in a future that is for all South Africans, that is to really build our nation. We cannot forget South Africa in the midst of all the crazy, you know, unbelievable things that happen. Mm-hmm. And I think over the last 6 months, you can wake up every single day and you have no idea what's about to happen.
Yes.
South Africa it's unbelievable. You wake up and a news story breaks. There's breaking news throughout the day on many days. And I think that we must not allow this to become the norm.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that we as citizens of a great young country that is so full of potential deserve so much, but we have to be a part of making sure that we're active citizens as well. We can't just allow our responsibility to lie on our leaders from a community perspective, our mayors, our cities, our ministers, parliamentarians. What are we doing as citizens, as ordinary South Africans? What do we do each and every day? How do we make good decisions? Mm-hmm. Do we do things that we shouldn't do from a local level? When we see a leaking tap, do we actually report it, or mm-hmm. do we go to social media and bitch and moan that there's a leaking tap?
Yeah.
How many of us actually are active and even know who our councillors are?
Yes.
I'm sure that if every single person had to really ask themselves, do you know your councillor by name and do you have their contact number? I'm sure the answer is going to be a very low percentage. And I think these are the small things that we can all do on a daily basis that build a nation from the community upwards. And when we see a leadership crisis like we currently have in South Africa, we need to make sure that we're continuing to build capacity from the ground up, because that leadership crisis needs to change. But we need to make sure that we are becoming that social change on the ground as well.
And that's what the Youth Leadership Platform is aimed at doing and trying to salvage. And I think people can be part of the conversation, by the way, on Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, YLP on YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram. So now, moving on to one of the other statements that he uttered, he said, "We understand it still that there is no easy road to freedom. We know it well, that none of us acting alone can achieve success." What role has collaboration played in the kind of work that you do? You do a lot of work, and you do a lot of traveling into a lot of countries and a lot of continents, and touch a lot of people. What has been the role of collaboration in all the work that you've done?
I think that the one thing that's really important is that nobody can do anything great on their own. It's really about team effort. It's about collaboration. It's about what can we do together to be stronger. And I think through so many of the things that we've done, our Miss Earth South Africa platform seeks to build a network of young women who are a collective doing environmental and climate work on the ground in their communities. That collective effort amplifies itself. And I think that through so much of the climate work, the human rights work that I've done across the continent, I cannot do what I do on my own. It's about the people I work with. It's about the people I constantly surround myself with, because it's those people that I learn from, I'm challenged by, I constantly take something away from their knowledge, their experience, their journey. And so often, if we decide to do a journey on our own, we will have to make so many of the mistakes that other people have already made. So I think that we have to learn from others. We have to work together. And when we're talking about building South Africa,
mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela was not on his own. Nelson Mandela had a strong group of people around him. When he was, you know, he's one of many Rivonia trialists.
Yes.
He's one of many freedom fighters. He's the one that we highlight the most, and he is our greatest icon. He's the father of our nation. However, there were so many others as well.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I know you have a very close relationship with Uncle Cathy. And today's show is about living the Mandela legacy. And what we mean by Mandela, really, we mean every single person that fought for a multicultural and multiracial and an all-inclusive South Africa, really. What are some of the lessons that you've learned from your close association with Ahmed Kathrada?
I think that the greatest lessons I learned from him continue to be a part of my daily life. He always, always taught me to ensure that we're doing something for someone else.
Yes.
Always ask what you can do for others. And I think that this is very much a part of the strength of our elders, being Nelson Mandela, you know, Kathrada. These were people who constantly thought about the other. And the other was always somebody who could not, like I said earlier, is not somebody who you do something for because you're going to get something back from them. It's not, you know, do something now and you get the favor back at, you know, later stage.
Yes.
You can pay back that bill. Uh-huh. It was really about how do we live to serve others. And I think that that's a fundamental part of who I am and what I do. And I think that, you know, Uncle Cathy's fight right till the end for a South Africa that saw non-racialism alive with possibilities of young people of all color, all religions, people from different groupings, and walks of life coming together to work on the South Africa of the future.
Yes.
Those were the fundamental things he believed in. His passion for non-racialism and a non-racial South Africa were at his core. And these were the things that he constantly spoke of. And as I say, right to the end, my time with him really built the young leader that I am and the journey I've walked. He always believed that no matter who you are, where you are, everyone is equal.
How do we fast track the narrative of a multiracial South Africa? Because when we look around us, there's conflicting narratives. We are moving that direction, but there's still roundtable discussions about one race being superior than the other and one race needing to hate the other. And, you know, so it's a conflict, between, the narratives that are being shared at table discussions in various homes. So how do we accelerate that? How do we help in ensuring that the youth of South Africa move away from that and start embracing each other for who the person is, their skills and their capabilities, instead of looking at their race?
I think we need to define for ourselves as a nation, who are we? I think that's a fundamental thing that has not been discussed enough. Who are we as South Africans? What are the values that we hold true to? And before we discuss race, we need to discuss those values so that we can appreciate in the next person who they are based on their value set. And how patriotic are we as South Africans? It's a question we should be asking ourselves.
Yes.
Do we stand by that flag no matter what? Or are we swayed now and again? Something bad's happened. Oh, South Africa goes out the window.
Yes.
Or do we stand true to the fact that we need to do everything we can to make sure that we are doing our part in building South Africa? So I think it's the two fundamental things. Who are we as South Africans? What are our set of values?
Mm-hmm.
And how patriotic are we? Once we get those two things sorted, discussed, workshopped, talked about endlessly, I think we then start to build a narrative of being South African first before being white or black, Indian or colored. And I think that for me, that's an important thing. When people ask, you know, when you have to fill out, this kills me. When you have to fill out a survey, a form, etc., and it asks you for your race, I refuse to fill out my race because I don't believe in most circumstances that it's a necessity. I put there South African. And if you take that and you put that I'm black, that's fine. I don't care. I'm South African before I'm anything else. And I think that this is something we have to discuss and we have to try very hard as it is, because there is a set of very, very hard emotion that's attached to race in our country.
Yes.
We have to push hard to push past, or not past, but alongside that race discussion. We have to start having the discussion about being South African, being patriotic, and what are the values that we believe we should all have as South African citizens first.
I'd like us to talk about the values, and we'll do that shortly after this.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
It's the Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram. Every single week we channel and challenge the narratives that are going on around about leadership. And we, our aim really is to galvanize and to have discussions that will help the future leaders to step up, the youth, to be part of the conversations that are being had about the state of South Africa and the state of the world, really, and becoming the leaders that they should be for the rest of the world, you know. And with me right now, I'm sitting with Catherine, and we're having a very wonderful discussion about living the Mandela legacy. And one of the things that we touched on that we're going to expand on now is the values of South Africa, how we can change the different narratives, the conflicting narratives that are being had at table discussions in various homes on different races in different families in South Africa. And what our argument is that if we have values for South Africans before values for anyone in any family or any cultural background, that will help as a catalyst to building a multiracial and a non-racial South Africa at that. So we're going to discuss some of the values that we should have as South Africans to be able to achieve this. Catherine, take us through that.
Before we do that, you mentioned something earlier, and I must share this with you very quickly. When we talk about Nelson Mandela, and one of the reasons I got really emotional, and I should share this, is that because many years ago, I had the opportunity and privilege to have tea with Tata.
Yes.
And the one thing I will never forget that he said to me, I asked him if there was one thing he could do differently, or if there was one thing that he would change, what would it be? And I will never forget that he told me he wishes he could have done more.
Wow.
And for a man of great stature and who was revered the world over,
yes,
for him to say he wishes he could have done more really, really touched me. And it blew my mind. And often I think back to that moment, because so many of us are so okay with what we do.
Yes.
And you then think of this great man who did so much, and yet he wished he could have done more. Mm. So I think that for me is also a very important lesson and
yes,
a life lesson, because it's in the small things that we can all do on a daily basis that have huge, huge impact. I think some of the, you know, some of the values that we should carry for ourselves as a nation should include that, you know, we focus on not only equality, but inclusivity.
Hmm.
Where we're not looking at being equal, but inclusive.
Okay.
I think for me, this is something that we often talk about, for example, you know, gender equality. We should be able to, I hope in my lifetime, I see a conversation where we're talking about inclusivity, where men and women don't have to be equal because this is the norm.
Yes.
This is how we live. I worry sometimes. I work extensively on women empowerment, but I'm a huge advocate for the boy child.
Okay.
Because I really believe that we're seeing ourselves in a space where the boy child is being left behind. And this is something that could be dangerous.
Yes.
Because in 20 years' time, we're going to have a generation of very powerful young women, and we're not going to have equal male counterparts.
Yes.
So inclusivity versus equality is something that's important. But equality, being a fundamental part of our constitution, needs to be a value that we all hold true. And we need to see ourselves as equal to the next person, no matter who they are, no matter what their religious belief is, no matter what their sexual orientation is. It's really, and obviously race,
yes.
You know, an Indian man must be equal to that of, you know, a white transvestite male,
you
know, whatever it might be. It's important that everyone is equal. And I think that equality needs to be one of those values. It also needs to go alongside the fact that, respect.
Okay.
You know, I think that in our country, I was recently somewhere and a international diplomat said that he's been posted in diplomatic positions around the world. Never has he seen a country that is so religiously tolerant.
Wow.
And I was taken aback. We don't see ourselves as a religious, it's not something, I've never actually thought of that discussion or thought of that narrative.
Yes.
But the fact that he said South Africans are religious, are very tolerant of different religions, I thought, wow, this is something that we could be proud of. This is something, you know, we do live in a community where there are so many different sets of religious beliefs.
Yes.
And this is something that we've been taught. By that same token, one day I hope that we are racially as tolerant of each other in all sorts of communities. Mm. If we're honest with each other, I think that race is a huge problem in our society still. And it is up to us what we do with that narrative, how we address those problems. How many of us know our neighbors?
Mm.
Do you know your neighbor by name?
Yes.
Or can you say it's, you know, it's that family, this family.
That family,
there's a Chinese
yes.
family down the road. There's an Indian family, you know, over there. And there's that Hindu family that live on the corner. How many of us actually know our neighbors?
Yes.
It's all these small things that we need to do that become part of the value set that we are, that gel us together as a nation. We have so many beautiful qualities. South Africa's cultural diversity is something that we can be so proud of. Yet sometimes we forget the beautiful things and we only focus on the negatives.
Yes.
And we need to change that in our homes, from the conversations we have with friends. We can do something to change the narrative and discussion and change the trajectory of a discussion that's had, because each and every one of us, we may not say anything, but sometimes silence is acceptance of a conversation
yes.
that you don't want to take part in, but because you say nothing, you allow that conversation to take
then,
its own
then
life.
You agree by default.
Yes.
You know, there's one aspect that I want to introduce in, or rather, right along the wave that you were talking about in terms of equality, equity. Because I saw a very interesting picture on Twitter the other day, and equality meant there was a really tall guy, a medium tall, and then there was a short guy, and then they were trying to look over a fence. So all of them, equality meant that they got a crate, just one crate, all of them. But now the tall guy became even taller. The medium, you know, to tall guy, he couldn't even see on the other side of the fence, but he got one crate. And the short guy couldn't see anything really. But all of them were equally, there was an equal distribution to all of them. But now equity, what it meant was, the shortest guy would get three crates so that he could get to a point where he can be able to see on the other side of the fence, and two crates for the medium high guy, and then one crate for the tallest guy. And all of them could see over the fence. Because I think we came to a democratic society and a democratic South Africa that with equality, it doesn't really salvage a lot of the situation that we had. Because we're still distributing assets, we're still distributing things equally, but not everyone equally started
at the same place.
At the same place, you know, there's certain people that started at very disadvantaged places, and you know the variations, different variations and categorizations they go from the lowest to the highest. So equally distributing some of the things in a democratic society means the people that were already advantaged, they're going to get even more advantage, and the guys that are disadvantaged, you're just going to put them at a level just one step higher than that. Now, changing the narrative and the conversation a bit, Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years, during which both his mother and his son passed away, and he was not allowed to attend any of the funerals. And in 1985, he has the chance to be freed by then the president, P.W. Botha, but declined this offer on principle, saying that in essence, him being freed would not amount to freedom for the people. And with a lot of things that Nelson Mandela suffered both in and out of prison, it's a narrative and a concept that I want to bring into today's world. That you do a lot of work, you do a lot of traveling. A lot of people see the pictures that you post on Instagram and on Twitter. They think everything is hunky-dory. But I would not like to believe that. I would not like to believe that the service and the work that you do with your team is not as hunky-dory as the pictures make it to be. So what are some of the challenges that you face in traveling and trying to serve the way you do?
I think it's really important, firstly, your comment on equality and equity. Around that, these are part of the real discussions we need to have as a society.
Very
and I
true.
Think so often we forget that these are the real discussions that must be had. And they may be painful, they may be awkward, they may be hard.
Yes.
But we have to have a place where, a safe space, where respect is the number one rule.
Yes.
And we have to have these discussions because mm-hmm. I don't think enough South Africans understand the fundamental of what you've just said.
Yes.
Moving on to some of the difficulties. I think there are many difficulties. The work that we do is very, very, is selfless. It's difficult. It's a space that we operate in that is not popular.
Yes.
People don't really care about the environment. People don't care about climate change. There are bigger issues. There are other issues. People don't care about the next person. Why should they worry if somebody in the Eastern Cape does not have access to safe, clean drinking water mm-hmm. when they're sitting in Johannesburg and there's a drought and they don't have water, you know, to open their tap and to access water?
Yes.
These are real life circumstances. To get people to a place where they can understand why it's important to care about the fact that there's not safe, clean drinking water mm-hmm. in so many of our communities. To worry about the fact that 1 out of 5 South African children faces chronic hunger. These are things that should worry us. And we have to appeal to people's conscience constantly. That's a huge, huge task. It's something that's really difficult. But only when people understand and can sort of have a perspective of where somebody else stands, only then will they listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really hard is as a woman, as a young woman, as a white young woman,
yes.
I'm often, if not always, the minority. I may be the only woman around a table. I may be the only white person in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And often people will say to me, well, why do you work in a place like this or that? Or isn't it dangerous to be here or there?
Mm.
And sure, safety is an issue. However, the places that I work in, I've built such strong relationships with the communities I work in. I feel safer in those communities than I feel in the middle of Johannesburg.
Mm.
I feel more insecure being in the CBD than I do being in the middle of Orange Farm. And that's because of the relationship and the foundation of the work that we do based on trust, respect, and an understanding of why we do what we do with the people we do the work we do.
Hmm.
These are not things you can describe in a picture.
Yes,
so these
yes.
are not things that are easy. But what you can do through social media platforms, and what we're trying to do, is use social media platforms to use the power of an image to inspire. And once you can inspire someone else, they will constantly think of, well, what could they do? They ask themselves that question. And if somebody will ask themselves that question and go out and do something because they felt an emotion through a photograph by somebody they may not know.
Yes.
I mean, I know very few people that follow me. So if I can inspire one person to go out and do something and they constantly do that one thing for the rest of their lives, we've allowed somebody to do something that gives back, that adds value to the life of someone else, that changes lives around them, and they will in turn go and inspire somebody else.
Mm.
So I think it's really important to use social media platforms, like we discussed earlier, for positive narratives.
Yes.
To do good, to build social equity in a positive manner. How can we make sure that people are inspired tomorrow coming out of Mandela Day? It's one day, it's 67 minutes. We all have 67 minutes. If somebody doesn't do something tomorrow, how have you used what you did to inspire somebody this week to still go out and do something of service for someone else?
Is it enough to do something for 67 minutes on one day in a year, though?
Well, like, you know, I go back to a comment earlier. Use tomorrow to reflect on what it is that you can do on a constant basis.
Mm.
Because everybody can do something.
Yes.
And, you know, when I started doing community work and a lot of outreach work, I was 15. What can a 15-year-old do that's got absolutely no money? And what you can do is you can give of yourself and you can give of your time. And that is something that no money can buy. I used to go and sit in old age homes in Soweto and spend my weekend there. And I would go and play bingo with old people.
Wow.
What it did for those lives is unmeasurable.
Yes.
What did I give? I couldn't buy anything for them, but I could go and give them of my time. I could go and listen to their long stories of all sorts of different things. I could give of my time and of myself to someone else.
Yes.
And if every person does that on a constant basis, then we're making the world a better place. And these are the soft issues. I get that. But it's the soft issues that get ignored. How many people do you ask, how are you? And how many people do you actually listen to an answer?
How many people do you?
And these are the things that we do every single day. It's not about going and painting a school. It's not about buying somebody groceries for a month. These are the bigger things that you can do, and if you can, do them. But if you can't do something big, do something small with a big heart.
Wow. Heading into the 18th of July, what are some of your plans for the 67 minutes for Madiba?
On Friday, we spent a day in Soweto at a school with the Miss Earth finalists who were from across South Africa. They were in Johannesburg for the day.
Okay.
So we spent the day in Soweto. And what we did was we've got a huge theme around waste. And the campaign is called Waste Stops With Me. So what we decided to do was to go and teach children how to make jewelry out of waste. So we partnered with NQ Jewelry Designs, a young man, Ngobile, who is based in Soweto. And he spent the day with us and assisted us to help these children to learn to make jewelry from waste. Tin bottle caps, we used plastic bottle caps, all sorts of waste that we found on the school property, and we spent a day with them. We also got somebody who came in and taught them about gemstones and precious stones, etc., and got them quite interested and inspired about gemstones, something that they were probably had not been introduced
exposed
to at all.
Exposed to in any way, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they all made a pair of earrings that they could take home to their mom out of waste. We taught them about the importance around waste. And tomorrow we'll be doing cleanups around the country, again, under the banner of Waste Stops With Me. And we'll also be attending a project at the Soweto Theatre where they'll be spending the day educating some children and reading books to them and inspiring them through literature. So it's been a sort of a weekend of Mandela Day service.
Yes.
And for us, it's an important opportunity to really connect with, for us, we choose children, we choose the theme of waste. And with the city of Joburg, with Pick It Up, we looked at how do we take waste and inspire children to think differently about waste and taking waste to worth as a concept. So we did that through the jewelry process, and we were joined by volunteers from Tsokosan, from the city of Joburg and Pick It Up. And it was just such a special afternoon and morning learning, getting them to learn about gemstones and then getting them to actually collect waste and find a way to repurpose it.
What is living the Mandela legacy?
Living the Mandela legacy is finding those values that he left behind for us and finding a way to live those through your daily actions. It's about what do we do on a daily basis that improves the lives of those around us. Living the Mandela legacy is really about making every day a Mandela day through the simple things that we can do. You can make an extra sandwich and give it to someone. Mm. You can make tea for everyone in the office, you know, instead of just saying, oh no, whoever's making tea, make coffee for me. It's the small things we can do. It's going home and seeing what, you know, we have so much clutter.
Yes.
What clutter do I not need that could really improve the life of someone else? How can we make sure that pile of books that we've either read once or twice and we're just keeping, how could that add value to somebody else's afternoon over a weekend? Take it to an old age home, take it to an orphanage. It's the small things that we have to do. And tomorrow is an opportunity for us to question for ourselves who we are, what we do, what value sets do we live by, and what are the principles that Mandela lived by that we can take something from and do something better for ourselves, for our communities, our families. Because, you know, there's the saying that charity starts at home.
Yes.
But where is home? Home is the communities that we come from. And we need to make sure that we're the best possible citizens, active citizens, who are building the communities from a grassroots level up, because South Africa needs active citizens now more than ever before.
How do people get a hold of you and keep part of your conversation and narrative?
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, Change Agent SA, and that's both on Instagram and Twitter. And Facebook, you can follow me on Catherine Constantinides. That's the Facebook page. A lot of my work with the refugees in North Africa on the Western Sahara, the Sahrawi people, I focus on that Facebook page by sharing information, interviews, stories, and it's really something that's completely different, but something that's really important to me. So that work is kept on Facebook.
Concluding thoughts for the youth of South Africa from Catherine.
Impossible is nothing. Okay. Whatever you dream of, you can do. You need to make sure that you are the best example you can be for yourself. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Don't try and be someone else. Who you wake up today and become needs to be better than who you were yesterday. Compete only with yourself and make sure that whatever it is that you set out to achieve, that you're responsible and hold yourself accountable to achieve your goals. Mm-hmm. I think so often we put that responsibility somewhere else. It's up to us to be the best possible person that we can be and to really, really add value to this beautiful country that we get to call home.
Thank you very much for coming through and spending time with us, Catherine. And thanks a lot for the work that you do. And I hope that the youth of South Africa can learn something from this conversation and can learn something from your narrative as well and the work that you've done and from Nelson Mandela. And to everyone that will listen to this podcast, I'd like to plead with you. Vincent van Gogh failed as a missionary, but there is this history. And if you follow art, you'll know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Pablo Picasso, he came up with a cubism and people ridiculed him, thought of him as a thing of naught, that he was not going to make anything of himself. But look at where cubism is as a movement today. Nina Simone only wanted to be a classic piano player. He never thought that he would be the Nina Simone on the story of OJ sampled by Jay-Z on 444. You can think of a lot of people that started out small, that had a purpose. And I think that's the underlying thing, purpose. If you can't live a life with purpose, then there's no point of living, really. And lastly, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life imprisonment. He never thought he'd ever see outside the walls of Robben Island and all the jails that he traveled through. But in all of that, he was brave to utter these words: "It always seems impossible until it's done." And he walked a free man. And because of him and many other men like him that have fought for something, that have lived for a purpose, that have been and shown true leadership, we have the democracy that we have in South Africa today. But this is not where the bulk of everything stops. It is upon each and every one of us to be part of the global change and to be part of the narrative, to awaken the leaders in us through education, the most powerful tool that we can use to change the world. That was Nelson Mandela. From the Youth Leadership Platform, from Catherine, thank you for joining us for the Youth Leadership Platform. And this is good day and God bless from today.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. CliffCentral.com.